Fucking seriously.
What?
What?
This Planet of Junk review in 4K. Is that really necessary?
Well, somebody spent a lot of money on a camera, I presume, and...
My God, they're going to use it.
Yeah. Now, mind you, YouTube won't even show 4K resolution unless you have, like, you know, stuff that will run 4K.
Mm-hmm. It's, yeah, they have some videos in it, but it's not common.
No. Kilby could watch that, because he has a 4K monitor, because Kilby.
Yeah. Fucking Kilby.
Newman.
Superhero Time presents that one episode of Star Trek with Chris.
But Gary 789.
Hey, Mickey.
So you get authentic Riker Hollow semen.
Scott.
Mommy, why is my penis so much bigger than everybody else's? Hun, that's because you're 35.
And Fort Max.
Dong dong.
So this week on that one episode of Star Trek, what are we doing again?
Deep Space Nine, Q-less. Season 1, Episode 6.
Deep Space Nine does have less Q by volume.
It's quantity, not quality?
That's what the Q stands for. Which is not even confused with the Klingon K-less. This is Q-less. So this is like the off-brand.
Q is filled by weight, not volume. Some settling of contents may occur.
What kind of idiot would have that as a tagline?
All comments are satirical in nature.
They are indeed.
Able to poop in 90 seconds. It's amazing. It's like
that's all that Metamucil.
Yes, that's what it is, I'm sure.
Well, no, Mickey was talking about this a few months ago. That his goal is just, like, to not even have to wipe.
Well, yeah. You don't have to. I mean, the police will arrest you. It's not illegal.
Yeah, it's like rolling marbles down a slip and slide now. There's no mess at all. It's just bam, 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 bam.
So pellets in, pellets out?
Yeah. Rabbit food for me.
Put a bunch of milk. Who put a bunch of milk duds and malt balls into the toilet?
And Cocoa Puffs.
And they say crunchy in milk.
So he apparently did enjoy the super bowel. Did he take the Browns to the super bowel? Yes, because we should really talk about the Super Bowl on a nerd podcast like this. I think one team super footballed more than the other team. What would you say, XV?
They did a good football supercharge for their second season.
Yeah, I think so. I think they footballed pretty good. Hey, Mickey, what do you think?
Any owls anywhere?
No superb owls?
No. Unfortunately, we can't make that joke anymore because they actually made like a Deadpool trailer based on that.
So
that joke has been officially ruined now. We are not allowed to use that.
Motherfucker.
And I was just about to say chimichangas for no reason. Damn.
No, Scott, no.
Well, I know I'm not now. I mean, the joke's dead. It was funny before.
Care some fajitas instead?
No, it's only funny if you say fajita.
I'm sorry, Scott. I think you mean to say vagina.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, I'm sorry. I apologize to any of our vagina-having listeners.
Well, it's just like last night I was informing somebody that... last night, too, I was informing somebody on Twitter that the word congenital is actually Spanish for with genitals.
It's true.
Yeah. True story.
That joke is el terrible.
So congenital herpes.
El Torino? I thought you lived in Sacramento, Scott.
I do.
So, Q-less.
Mm-hmm.
Deep Space Nine. Mickey, I think you should do the summary because you'll be motivated to get through this as quickly as possible.
Phew.
All right. So
also, we've had Scott do this for the last several weeks.
You're slowing me down.
He's anti-paladin.
Wait, which one of us is anti-paladin?
Yes.
Mickey. He's starting when everyone else is still talking.
Although, in our hearts, I think we are all anti-paladin.
Yeah, that was the paperwork I had to sign when I started the podcast, that I was indeed anti-paladin.
Okay, so the episode opens up with Bashir being the most Bashir he could possibly be.
Yeah, talk about character setting. Good lord.
And it's just one of those moments that makes me really love Bashir, because he is the most insufferable git in all of Starfleet.
Yeah. Titting on some lady that's probably never going to show up again. He's bringing up the test.
Of course.
The question that he missed.
Mm-hmm.
The best part, though, is how when she, after all this nonsense, she goes, "That's fascinating." And in the background, O'Brien Pretley chokes on his coffee and gets up and leaves.
The look of the disappointing school marm that he has on his face is delicious. He looks like an insulted nun.
His look is, "Are you fucking serious?"
See, early Deep Space Nine is great
for that.
I can't
take any more of your horseshit, Bashir. I'm leaving.
Yeah, early Deep Space Nine is great for that, because O'Brien just, like, fucking hates him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, actively hates him as
a person.
Yes,
he can't stand him!
I know, it's so great.
Well, could you stand him?
No.
Well,
I'd much rather hang out with O'Brien.
Eating corned beef and cabbage and getting drunk.
Hey, I like me some corned beef.
Oh, as do I, my friend.
Well, meanwhile, there's an emergency, because the runabouts come back from the wormhole, and they've locked the keys inside, and they don't know how to unlock the doors.
So I have a problem with...
safety locks on.
I have a problem with this. You know how up in Ops they have this great big panel that has the word transporter written on the top of it?
Yes. If only there's some way they could transport someone to and from an enclosed structure.
Oh, but you know what the problem is? O'Brien's not up there to run it, so, you know.
He's the only one that has the login password.
Uh-huh.
He doesn't trust anybody else with it. You idiots will fuck it all up.
So the problem is apparently they ran out of gas. Kira's immediate response is, "We're going to shoot this door off."
Mm-hmm.
You have to like early Kira, though, because most of her solutions just involve, how can we violence our way out of this?
Gee, Scotty.
Well, a little bit, yeah, but it's also just that, you know, up until a month and a half ago, she was a soldier, basically killing anybody she could find.
Now, to be fair, she wasn't a soldier, she was a terrorist.
Yes, let's do the...
Well, you know, history's written by the winners.
Oh, so she was a freedom fighter then, huh?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, actually, I'm surprised over the course of Deep Space Nine how much the Bajorans refer to themselves as having been terrorists rather than freedom fighters.
Because at the time, the word terrorist didn't have quite such a negative connotation as it does now.
It was
a slightly grayer term.
True, so but Star Trek, and especially Deep Space Nine, was a lot more forward-thinking than this, and it seems like the kind of thing where, you know, eventually they're going to look at themselves as being heroes of that and probably want to go with a more positive term. You know, it's just kind of surprising that how consistently they stuck with that.
Well, I'm still a fan of what the Cardassians called them, which was Ridgebillies. I think that's better than insulting... That's the best I could do. I thought this entire conversation of some sort of slur, that's the best I could come up with. So I'd like to formally apologize.
It's better than the Bajoran slur for Cardassians.
I don't know. Spoonhead is pretty fucking great.
I think it's pretty fucking stupid. But
Love that insult. It's a great insult.
Your mileage may vary.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you might not like it. I love it, dude. I think it's great. I look for a reason to call people spoonheads.
Well, O'Brien pulls out his portable cell phone charger and plugs it into the runabout. And they get the door to unlock so they can manually slide it open. Okay.
Oh, also, when Bashir and O'Brien, like, roll up on the scene, they've got one of those bars jammed in the door to try to pop the locks from the outside. They're not really getting anywhere with it, though.
Oh, yeah, the little Jimmy bar or whatever?
Yeah, they actually do have, like, a manual release lever that Kira can't move.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks for being Kira.
Mm-hmm.
They run inside and see, everyone's just sleeping and taking a nap, but they're fine. But why is there three people here instead of two? Well, it's because they picked up someone in the... What the fuck is it?
Gamma Quadrant.
Thank you. I always get Gamma and Delta mixed up.
No, this is the good one.
Yeah. they found Vash.
The Stampede?
No.
The Humanoid Typhoon?
No.
No, this person is not even voiced by Johnny Young Bosch.
This is Vash, the evil Indiana Jones.
Well, she's not really evil. She's just, you know, amoral. There's a difference.
Or immoral. I think she would totally steal Indian arrowheads and sell them.
Yeah.
That's somewhat immoral.
Yeah.
I don't think she'd kill anyone. But
I wouldn't put it past her.
She wouldn't set out to kill people, but if someone got in her way...
I don't think so. She's not a killer. She's many things. I don't think she's a killer. I got to go with XV on this.
Okay. Yeah, killing people for the sake of it is too much trouble for it to be worth it for her.
I mean, it's like Quark. Quark wouldn't kill somebody for profit.
No, but Quark has morals.
Yeah.
I mean, Quark is many things, but he's not a killer or a murderer. It would never even like cross his mind. He wouldn't go, "Oh, well, if I kill them, I'll be able to get." No, he would never. It wouldn't even blip on him.
Although if somebody's just going to die anyway, he'll certainly take advantage of that.
Yeah. If they're like, you know, on their deathbed, he'll still rob them blind or get them to sign away their inheritance, of course. But
he wouldn't actively pull the trigger.
No.
He would stop that means someone else from doing it.
That means he won't be able to profit off of them in the future.
Exactly.
But, yep, it's Vash. Picard's questionable love interest.
Yeah. Didn't she used to be pretty?
The first time she appeared, she was pretty okay looking.
Yeah.
This lady did not age well at all.
She's got kind of the Maria Shriver Skeletor face thing kind of going on a little bit. It's all tendons.
I was thinking it was kind of nice that she is an older looking woman.
Well, she
on TV.
Is now, but neither time she appeared in Next Generation was she older looking.
Well.
No, I see your point, Mickey. Yeah. I mean, I see what you're saying. She's not some stupid young pretty thing. I mean, she's actually like a woman, not some little teeny bopper. No. I get you. I agree with that.
And that puts her closer in age to Picard.
Right. Still...
Right. She's 35. He's like 70.
Right. Yeah. So in Hollywood terms, they're about the same age. They're the right ages for a love interest. You know?
Yeah.
So there's a red shirt there that I didn't notice before.
And he's wearing the wrong red shirt, too. Huh.
Mm-hmm.
Well, after they get everyone off the shuttle, Bashir goes to check out Vash.
If you know what I mean.
And we all certainly do know what he means.
Uh-huh.
Because he is trying so hard to get some of that sweet, sweet tang.
No foreign bacteria, no parasites. Although, we could go and test if you have any exotic STDs.
Yes. There doesn't appear to be any semen inside your vagina. Is this
I
something you like to
make absolutely
change?
Clear that you're safe before I put my penis in you. Because right. This is a salutatorian penis. And it would have been valedictorian, except...
Have I mentioned that?
So, Cisco's office, Dax has given him the lowdown of what happened and said, well, we just kind of found Vash. Well, how'd she get there?
Won't tell
she
us.
She won't say.
She said it was a personal matter.
So, like, her period? I mean, how did her period get her to a different galactic quadrant?
Well, she got so pissy. It actually propelled her into the Gamma Quadrant.
She created a subspace rift in space and time. Her cramps bent subspace.
were so strong they created a gravity well.
Ooh.
I'm glad no one on this. Yeah. Words.
Words?
Yes, words.
With your mouth voice, Mickey.
I'm glad there's no female listeners to this podcast.
Yeah, that's very good.
I'm glad there's no listeners to this podcast.
Yeah, that's even better.
I understand we have about the same listenership that regular Superhero Time does.
Zero?
Well, I'm not saying that, just the same
just,
number.
Okay, so Gigabeetle?
I don't know if Gigabeetle actually listens to this.
Well, true. He hasn't been on this one.
I'm pretty sure he just listens to the intro, but as soon as the episode starts, he's like, nah, I'm done.
I think that's what most people do, actually.
Yeah.
Well, the cold start and the intro quotes are really the best part of any episode.
Yeah, we do an episode of nothing but intro quotes.
Yes. We need to do a best.
We still have all those JD ones that we haven't used.
And an ever-growing collection of Scott intro quotes.
I have a small penis.
I already have you saying that.
Oh, I just want to remind everybody real quick.
Oh, okay.
But is it a salutatorian penis?
Well, I guess you'll just have to find out.
Well, that's one for the Fort Max pile, at least.
Oh.
Okay, so Vash is down there at Deep Space Bank, talking to Otho from Beetlejuice, and she wants to rent place a security deposit box for her loot.
So they
start chronicling her shit, and she's got, like, a fertility statue.
This is the shittiest inventory job, too. There's, like, no detail on any of this stuff.
Mm-mm. Yeah, the guy's like, it's a thing that has some shapes to it. Okay,
assorted gems.
I know!
Yeah. Like, it's not even... them.
Yeah!
A Mardi Gras necklace.
Not worth the price of admission, if you ask me.
And then she reveals her final object, a Chaos Emerald.
Where am
and
I
they
ever
don't
ones?
Even inventory that.
Yes, I've never seen one of these. Yep, throw it in the box.
Yeah.
That's what it's listed under. That's what it's listed as under the inventory. And I've never seen one of these.
Yeah. Look, I've got this bomb I'd really like to put in here. It's very, very unstable. Sure.
Yeah, it has all those force fields on all four sides.
Right.
Well, those are supposed to keep things out, not in.
Are we really gonna
shows up to talk to Vash and says, "So, how'd you get here? I'd rather not talk about it. It's personal."
Here, carry
and then
my
he
bag.
Goes, okay. Like that's an answer. Apparently, that's an answer you can give.
Well, I mean, she's a civilian, so she's not bound by Starfleet.
That's true.
Cisco has no reason to play hardball yet. But basically, Cisco starts giving us some exposition on Vash in case she didn't watch Next Generation of, oh, she's a very smart archaeologist, but she's a rule breaker and a troublemaker.
Mm-hmm.
She's been banned from all these smart-sounding words.
Yeah, the Federation's premier science institute's kicked her out twice.
Yeah, they do mention the Daystrom Institute quite a bit in this episode, which I thought was kind of cool. Nice little nerdy thing.
Yeah, I think that was actually introduced as a concept in her introduction episode, Next Generation.
Really? See, I thought that was a TOS thing. Daystrom Institute was a TOS thing. Is that?
No, that was actually Dr. Daystrom was a TOS thing.
Oh, well, there
Richard,
you go then.
Richard Daystrom was the guy from the episode where they tried to have a computer run the Enterprise.
Ah, good old Dick Daystrom.
Well, then.
Daystrom, comma, Dick.
O'Brien is so useless.
Well, Cisco tries to convince Vash to go back to Earth and do some shit for free, and she's like, maybe I will.
I also like how she points out that she hasn't been back to Earth in at least 12 years, and it's just, it's a world-building thing. Like, yeah, people can be away from Earth for a damn long time.
Well, yeah, some people never go to Earth. I mean, they're on colonies or whatever.
Yeah, it's not something you, like, tend to think about. readily with Star Trek. Like, you just assume at some point everybody goes back to Earth.
Right. Right. Or everyone's from Earth originally. Yeah. Know, and then they move out into space. You know, but yeah, you keep forgetting that there are humans out there, their own colonies that have never seen Earth.
I think that's kind of a neat concept.
They've never been to San Francisco, you mean?
Or Vancouver. Depending.
Well, is Vancouver really considered Earth anymore? I mean,
it's considered New York and LA and Chicago.
Uh huh.
And Keystone City and, you know, yeah, every fictional city in the universe.
Colorado Springs, Colorado.
Yeah.
The Pegasus Galaxy.
Giant Mountains.
Cisco goes to check in on O'Brien's work on the runabout. And his response is,
oh, I don't know.
It's fine, but it doesn't work.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with it, but there's everything wrong with it. Good news, everyone! There's nothing wrong, but unfortunately, everything is wrong.
Well, no, like, there's nothing wrong with it. The battery's just dead.
No, it's not even that. He just can't even figure out what's going on.
Well, no,
but then he goes to say,
well,
it's
he can't figure out a reason why it would. Well, what he can't figure out is why everything lost power. Because everything that is there seems to, I mean, looks like it's working just as it should, just there isn't any power.
I also love how he just casually, offhandedly remarks, oh, and there's also almost a warp core breach, but, you know, whatever.
The warp field containment's barely functioning. It's like, it sounds a little bit more important than what you're making it to be. Yeah. Yeah, you're right. I noticed that, too, when I was watching the episode.
But, yeah, you know, once we put it back on the charger, everything's fine.
Right. Uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
And then?
I'm sorry, I got distracted. Where were we?
Okay, well, putting the runabout back on the cell phone charger.
So back in the 60s, there was a TV show called Star Trek. And, oh, okay.
And in the late 50s, there was Wilkins Coffee.
Back in Ops, the whole station is undergoing a random power drain.
What could it be?
They must not have drank their Wilkins Coffee.
Hey, that's right. I will fucking kill you if you don't.
Bad things can happen to people who don't drink their Wilkins Coffee.
There's a whole galaxy of people who need to drink Wilkins Coffee.
Also, O'Brien is questioned by Sisko at one point earlier about how he knows Vash.
Oh, yeah.
Well, barely
at
all.
His response is, oh, she knew of Captain Picard.
You know.
If you catch my drift.
And then I like Sisko.
She's seen his bald head.
She's excavated his cavern.
Ugh.
She's uncovered his fossil.
He's tasted her Earl Grey.
Ugh. I like Sisko's response, though. You know, she doesn't seem like she would be his type.
Yes, well, made it so.
Well, Picard likes a bitch.
Damn.
That's basically what O'Brien says back. Captain Picard likes a challenge.
Right.
He likes a real fixer-upper.
And at this point, O'Brien is he single or is he with Keiko at this point?
No, he's married.
He's with Keiko the whole time.
Oh, okay. All
they got married in Next Generation, dude.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. So he's married. He doesn't give a shit.
We're going to watch that episode 1 week, too, because that's a good episode.
All right.
So O'Brien escorts Vash to her quarters, and we follow her inside and watch her start unpacking her bag, which you immediately know something's going to happen, because that always happens when you ever follow someone into their quarters.
Mm-hmm. And they start doing something boring for 2 seconds that real people do. Yeah, they have to make a scene out of it.
And surprise, there's Tim Curry. I mean, John DeLancey.
Yes.
So enter Q. Apparently Q is bitter because she broke up with him in the Gamma Quadrant. And he wants her back.
Which is weird.
And to convince her to come back, as soon as she unpacks her bags, he repacks them. over and over
again. He does it like 6 times in this scene. It is so awesome. He's such a dick. He's an omnipotent dick. But it is so fun to watch John DeLancey just chew scenery and just be John DeLancey.
Yeah, basically.
It is. It's just so awesome. He just keeps teleporting. And she just keeps unpacking it, which is the part I don't understand.
Like why she's even bothering?
Well, right, yeah, because she knows he's just going to keep doing it. He's like a 6-year-old with a toy that makes noise. They're going to keep doing it. And the more annoyed you are, they're just going to do it more.
Well, yeah, but she can't give in to him.
Well, no, she can just wait. She throws the bag at him. Motherfucker. So they don't really, I mean, he calls it a partnership, but were they like romantic or what did he get out of it? That's something I don't understand. What did Q get out of it?
He's calling it for whatever would annoy her the most.
Probably.
Mm-hmm. Apparently Q likes a good challenge too.
Yeah.
I feel like the line of dialogue here when they're talking about their misadventures, like when she goes on, like, well, they didn't love you on that one planet. What do they call you? The God of Lies?
They meant it affectionately.
His delivery of that line is perfect because he does not even react. Nope. By the time Quark enters with a bottle of convincing in his hand.
Yeah. A bottle of no to yes.
And even though Q momentarily transports him to God knows where for a second, yes. He brings him back and vanishes himself.
And I love how Quark, like, that pause of, like, what the fuck just happened? And he goes, okay, well, moving on. And he just pushes forward because he's that awesome. He was in a nightmare dimension of like Lovecraftian nightmare. And he just is like, yeah, whatever.
No. He's a Ferengi. He was probably he was probably sent to somewhere without money.
The Federation. Oh, yeah, Quark just got dropped off in San Francisco for a minute.
And this has to be one of the greatest things, though. Quark and Bash together is magical. Just magical. I loved watching their scenes together.
Quark about it as well.
Oh,
he'd agree.
So... Now, this is one thing I am disappointed about this episode, is that, as far as I know, you guys may correct me, but this is the only time Bash and Quark ever meet.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is such a shame, because these characters are made for each other. They're so great to watch.
So Quark wants to hold an auction for her shit. And he wants a sensible take of 50-50.
Mm-hmm.
And her response is to immediately start jacking him off.
Yep.
So as she applies the umach, she whittles him down to 22%, which is damn good for her. So she really knows how to work some lobes.
I also like how, you know, Quark finally relents to 22% on the condition, don't stop, and she immediately stops.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's still fine with it.
Uh-huh.
Well, he's rubbing
his own ear as he's walking out the door.
Well, yeah, it's like rubbing down a chubby, you know. I mean, you got to deal with the blue balls one way or the other. It's just uncomfortable.
You got to rub the extra wax out, otherwise it clots up and sprays everywhere when you go to urinate.
I thought we weren't going to talk about that.
See, that's how your ears work, right?
See, I want to be official now that Ferengi pee out their ears.
See what the urinals look like.
Like, you know, both at once, too.
And then immediately Bashir shows up. Good Lord, this woman's popular.
Well, you know, she is in space and she doesn't have a nose wrinkle, so...
And she's not in the uniform.
Yeah, all of her wrinkles are in other places. Sorry.
Like, around her eyes.
See, I'll let you run with this. I'm done. I get tired of getting hate mail, so...
from all the people who listen to this?
Well, mainly my mom, but you know how that goes.
I hate you, Scott. Love mom.
You know, that's really the most hurtful your mom joke possible. Your mom listens to Superhero Time.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Does she wear combat boots? Nope. She's a weeaboo. That's what it is. Your mom.
All right, so Bashir showed up to ask Vash out for a date. A very charming date with dinner. And she's like, yeah, just let me go douche real fast. I'll be right down.
Let me go wash the Ferengi off my hands.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah.
How does Bashir not smell that?
Maybe he's just being polite.
Right.
Well, you know, he's a doctor. Like, he's used to gross things.
Yeah, why do you have smegma under your fingernails? Ugh.
Why does it smell like latinum? So, the magnificent restaurant Bashir has invited her to is apparently the cafeteria on the promenade.
Yeah. There are green things there, though. I mean, there are, like, plants and stuff, so that's nice.
But apparently his waiter is Q, impersonating a Bajoran and wearing their religious earring.
Which is awesome. And the leotard. He is filling out that leotard. Let's point that out.
Oh, he fills out everything he wears.
The man looks good in beige. You know, what can I say?
Beige and maroon or mauve or whatever. Those colors kind of defy...
Burgundy.
Bajorans really have bad color sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. I blame the religion.
Well, the thing is, too, like, the religious people have the only decent-looking wardrobe colors. All oranges and, like, you know, bright purples.
Nicely cut garments that, you know, flatter themselves.
Yeah, basically.
For a magical time.
I like to say the Bajoran uniform, which is basically a reverse vest.
Yeah.
Something like
Let's
that,
just wear
yeah.
sleeves.
And see, that doesn't even look that bad on their, like, command division equivalent, where the shades of red are so close to each other that there's not, like, a huge visual distinction between the patches.
But then you get to the engineering department, where it's green and gray.
Well, and even the security.
Yeah.
You know, anything where there's a lot of contrast between the suit colors, it doesn't really work anymore. Although, on the other hand, Kira's uniform always reminded me of the interior to a Buick we had in the 90s.
It's very upholstered.
Yeah, it's very upholstered, and it was the same color.
Yeah, like a Buick LeSabre.
It was a Regal, but nice try.
Okay, so down at the cafeteria, Q's like, oh, you don't want to see Vash. But she's like, yes, I do. And then Q basically does a thing like, yawn, I'm so tired. And Bashir's like, oh, I'm tired too. I better go take a nap.
And then promptly disappears forever.
For the rest of the episode.
Yep.
Well, almost.
So we get 25 blissful minutes without Bashir.
So while Bashir is heading off for some beauty rest, Ops is in a panic because
You're missing an important part.
What I miss?
So, you know, Bashir starts staggering off to go to bed, and Q mutters to himself, yes, hopefully by yourself for a change, as he turns to walk away. But O'Brien just happens to see his face.
Oh, that's right, yes.
Bloody hell!
I'm going to go tell Dad.
My big black dad.
Are you kidding? Cisco's probably, you know, young enough to be his son.
Well, O'Brien runs up and tattles to Cisco. I just saw Q. I just saw Q.
What's a Q?
An omnipotent space dick.
that was my in high school. Hey, Mickey knows that's not true.
Yeah, because you didn't go to high school.
That's right. You don't know what my mom called me. God, hope she doesn't listen to this episode.
Anyway, so they say, well, what does Q want? No, he's probably up to no good. Rah, 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 Q.
Yeah, those pesky Qs.
Oh, but, you know, it's probably important that he does know Vash.
I think they immediately start blaming Q for the power outages, though.
So what, did they meet on the Enterprise? No, actually, I believe it was in Sherwood Forest. As yeah. Sisko just gives O'Brien, like, a death glare.
Yeah, like, do not play with me, motherfucker. Just give me an answer.
Or the look is more like, yes, maybe in Sherwood Forest, but yes, it was the Enterprise the incident happened with, so fuck off. Just specifics.
You pedantic bitch.
Well, he is an engineer.
Ooh. Damn.
Well, Fort Max is allowed to make those jokes.
I'm sure. I wish I was allowed to make certain jokes.
You're not.
I know I'm not. You'll blink him out of the episode. Bastards.
Yeah, Scott, check your career appropriation.
I'll have you know, I've been punning for longer than you've been alive.
I'm surprised you've lived that long, then.
Yeah, me too. I didn't think I was going to make it past 30, but here I am!
Well, Vash and Quark are discussing all the fat cash they're going to rake in from these suckers at the auction. And Sisko, he wants to have a war with Vash in the meantime.
Like a nuclear war?
And Vash is like, where's Bashir? I was supposed to get in some salutatorian dick. And suddenly Q and Sisko are going at it. I like how Q opens up with, your station sucks. Did you ask for this?
Which is a fair question when you think about it.
Yeah.
He calls it a dreary little gulag.
Is he wrong? Is he wrong?
No.
It's... John's Lancey. Oh, that little buzz away. That little ruby ride. Zzz, zzz. he uses to get the waiter to go away. Skedaddle.
So when Q and Vash are having the will they or won't they talk, Sisko interjects like, let's talk alone.
Okay.
Q Flash. I granted your wish, but not the way you thought I would.
Tee-hee, I'm a trickster god.
The turkey's a little dry.
That's what the gravy's for. Wait, what metaphor are we going for here?
Simpsons.
Yeah, like, even Q is just going ahead and saying, he's like, so I'm here for some witty repartee, and you're just looking at me. This isn't fun. Like, you're not putting up with my bullshit and entertaining me. Yeah, Sisko just looks at him like, motherfucker, I will snap your neck.
Well, Q runs with that idea, too.
So Q decides to go for broke, and let's get into a fisticuffs match.
I'll the challenge mustache!
Masculinity and barbarism.
The mustache!
Yes. Like, yeah, Sisko grows into it and grabs him. Physically grabs him. That takes balls.
Yeah, Sisko physically assaults a space god.
Yeah.
To be fair, it was Q's idea.
And yeah. Q punched him first.
Uh-huh.
And
a couple
Q told him to hit him.
Yes.
What then? You hit me. The car never hit me. Why did you hit me? You're so barbaric. You did the thing I told you to do.
Hits him like 4 times.
You hit me. Not even my own father ever hit me.
That look needs to be a gift. That look. It's priceless. He looks like Webster doing the, what you talking about, Willis?
That wasn't Webster, like, that was Arnold.
Well, whatever.
Man, Scott, that is just so racist.
Yeah, I know. But he does have that little look on his face. Oh, I love it. One thing I do like about the auction scene is they just apparently ran out of makeup this episode.
Just put bags over their heads. Nobody'll care.
I know.
Oh, also in the boxing match, Quark bets on Cisco.
Yeah.
That was a nice touch. And yeah, as the auction goers are filing in, Odo's just standing there, door of his office, rolling his eyes.
Mm-hmm. I gotta say, Odo looks
up here on the episode.
Odo looks fucking weird. His makeup looks very strange in these early episodes.
Well, he had less of it.
Yeah. He looks like more humanoid.
Yeah.
He has like cheekbones and stuff, and it's just weird looking.
Yeah, well, I kind of
still fluctuating.
I kind of don't like that they went for the, like, overall smoother face in the later seasons. Since, at least this way, he could be more expressive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what is that one first big alien that gets off that, he looks like a Nausicaan, but he's not. Is he...
He's a Nausicaan.
Damn, you beat me to it.
Almost looks like a Leafin, but I can't tell what species he is. I guess he's just a one-off.
He's a Nazi Ken.
Ooh. Is there any other kind?
Oh. Anyway, so the power is still fluctuating, and somewhere up in Ops, someone left a window open.
And we get to see way too much forehead on some of these people because their hair is getting blown around. Although Cisco is smart enough to go, you know, I don't think Q is behind this. This seems kind of dumb for him to be messing with us in this way. So at least Cisco's smart enough to go, no.
Well, and especially after, you know, the encounter in Quarks, he kind of knows Q doesn't really do small.
Right. He wouldn't do little annoying things like this for no reason.
No, he would, like, turn the place inside out.
Right. Like Kermit would do to you if you don't drink Wilkinson's coffee.
Oh, speaking of Odo, it's time for his required dialogue.
With Quark.
Where he taunts Quark about, I know everything that you do. Right. Well, I'm not doing anything illegal, but I still know about it.
Yes. So did they ever do it? I mean, because the tension was there for seasons.
Well, there was that one time they were stranded on a planet together.
Oh, yeah. That's going into headcanon.
I mean, it was also very cold. They had to keep warm somehow.
That's true. And then Odo enveloped him, you know, in a living
gel. This is when Odo was not a shapeshifter.
Oh.
Yeah, he still enveloped him.
Oh, yes. Okay. Well, Odo probably is bigger anyway, isn't he?
Yeah, I think Odo would be Big Spoon.
Well, he enveloped all of them, just part of them.
Cupped it, if you will.
Insert it.
Oh,
so yeah, Quark's all like, Odo, isn't there anything you want? Then Odo goes on this whole big thing of, I don't know why you even bothered buying stuff, because you just fill your houses with it until you have no room anymore, and then you die.
Yeah.
And I uncomfortably glance around my house while this scene goes on.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
Well, don't you want, like, a lathium-coated bucket to sleep in?
And Odo pauses.
Yeah, which is weird to me, because is he just humoring him, or is he actually thinking about it?
No, he's just screwing with Quark.
Oh, okay.
All right, so Q and Vash are on their way to the auction.
Well, Vash is on the way to the auction. Q's still just being Q.
Well, yes. And Vash is like, I don't need you. I've never needed you. And Q's like, oh, really?
And then starts giving her every disease Kirk ever had.
So he reminds me of the time that she got stung by a mosquito on some alien shithole. And like, what if I hadn't saved you? First, your hair would have fallen out. And then you would stop applying makeup.
And then you would get very old.
That's what Mickey just said.
And then you'd be covered in barnacles.
Covered in barnacles. So, yeah, he just is a dick to her and then disappears. Like, yep, I'm a dick. Boop. Bye-bye.
You're a dick, but he did have a point. Like, you know, she was full of shit when she said that she didn't need him.
Of course, well, she's home, she doesn't
he saved her life numerous times.
Yeah, but
only
she
could have done that.
Yeah, but she wouldn't be in those positions if it weren't for him anyway. So it's kind of like, eh.
Well, you know. She did agree.
It's not
to
like
go
he deliberately made her get stung by an insect.
And she
in
did
the Gamma Quadrant? Yeah, he kind of did.
And she did agree to go with him in the first place.
Yeah, she right. asked him to go these places.
Yeah, that's true.
And anyway, now that she's back home, she really doesn't need him anymore.
True.
So, the crew up in Ops trying to figure out how are we going to find out where this power fluctuation is coming from.
Let's just fill the station with radiation.
The station with poison.
You know what the station needs more of? Radon gas. Turn on the carbon monoxide, producers.
Radon gas, and then we're going. So yeah, we need to fill it with radon gas. So get the helium. So get the hydrogen isotopes.
Right. Oh, and start scratching the walls away to start exposing the asbestos.
But here's the thing: they talk about filling it with radon, but they don't. They fill it with hydrogen isotopes. It's not the same thing.
Oh, it's fine.
Yeah, it's future science. Just, you know, deal with it.
Oh, then Q shows up to say, y'all are still working on this? Picard would have solved this episodes ago.
And he would have.
And O'Brien has the smart idea. I'm going to mouth off to Q, finally. I'm getting my chance to stand up to him now.
Who are you again? Oh, I know you. You are one of the little people.
Yeah.
You had your name in the credits after the episode started.
Yeah, like,
sometimes after the episode was over.
Yeah, like, O'Brien's like, I pity you, Q. And Q's like, I don't think about you at all. And apparently, like, Quark has a slave working for him?
Yes, they're called Dawa Girls.
No, I mean, she's like an alien one, and she looks so sad. It's like, okay, something is clearly wrong here.
Yeah, no, that's
she
a Dawa
works
girl.
In the service industry. What do you expect her to look like?
Yeah, these would be, like, fit and full of life and happy to be where she is? No.
It's time for my favorite line of the episode. Quark, you obsequious toad. Flat face. So the auction's about to start. And the colorful crew of auctioning. No,
auctionee.
Auction eyes. That's what they're auction eyes.
You're just making up shit now.
I am. I'm declaring it to be fact. They're arriving and they're calling Quark $4 words.
Ooh, saucy.
$4 words.
Mm-hmm.
Is that like a $5 foot long?
No, that's what he made earlier before the episode.
But it only took him 30 seconds, so that's pretty good.
Yeah, yeah, the speed ratio was pretty high.
I've never had service nearly that fast at a Subway.
Same quality of food, though.
All right, so the auction goes on, and Vash stands up, and she's like, let me give you the longest, most boring history for this chunk of rock I could possibly do.
Because for every other fault she has, she is still an archaeologist and a scientist and actually cares about what these things are.
But she's a terrible saleswoman.
Yes, that's why she has, you know, teamed up with the Ferengi.
Mm-hmm.
Cork basically shoves her off the podium.
He does like the cane hook, you know, with, from vaudeville.
And he gets up and he grabs the statue and says, it's rare. It's expensive. Buy it.
Like, oh, okay. Well, sure.
It might make women want to fuck you.
Yeah. Jeez.
Intro quote?
Okay. Well, no, we were calling it a fertility statue earlier.
Yes.
Yep.
Now, the aliens, the bags of their heads. I kind of like that they called them like the so-and-so, the mystery one or something like that, whatever it was.
Or
they called
the
them.
Obscure?
Yeah, the obscured.
As opposed to the we ran out of makeups.
Yeah.
It's so-and-so, the lampshaded.
So-and-so, the budget underrun.
The lampshaded, very good. I'm Grognac, the lampshaded.
So suddenly, DS9 starts getting pulled into the wormhole. And it's a mystery as to why.
You know, that's kind of bad.
Or would it be good?
No.
Would DS9 be more interesting if DS9 was in the Gamma Quadrant?
Yeah.
No.
Trying to fly back home, taking 70 years.
Why wouldn't they just go back through the wormhole?
Oh, well. They had to blow that up.
Yeah, beat me to it.
No, they couldn't go through the wormhole because Prime Directive.
Right.
That's right, yeah.
There are aliens that live in there, and we're not supposed to contact them. So, yeah, once we went past them once, we can't go back again because that might disrupt them.
No, that's only if Janeway was in command.
Speaking of lampshading.
Yeah.
All right, so let's auction off this dagger. It's fancy and covered in jewels, and you can stab someone with it.
And it might make women want to fuck you.
I kind of want to buy it now. I want one.
Scott, of all the sharp, daggery, swordy things you've bought, and have any of them made women want to fuck you?
Just a few dozen.
A few dozen sharp, daggery things, or a few dozen women?
I'm not bleeding about the genitals, so I'll let you figure that out.
So I'm telling you, you need to put your money in plastic cheap swords that make electronic noises.
Those are the best ones.
Because I'm swimming in dick.
Especially if that noise is...
Clearly, that's more effective than mine.
I can dual wield those. Behold my meat daggers. I call this one the womb broom. I call this one the liver flipper.
That sounds like a spatula more than a sword.
Well, you have to do the liver's on the inside, so I'll let you think about that one. All right, moving on, please.
There's more than one way to penetrate a cat.
Oh my god.
Intro quote.
Yeah.
For God's sakes, man.
Yeah, you know that's a good one when it actually stops Scott cold.
That's not what I expected to hear tonight, but moving on.
Oh, if only JD was here to hear this.
I think, though, if we had JD and Scott in one place together, none of the rest of us would ever get to talk.
Probably.
Probably. It would be entertaining.
The show would be better off.
Yeah, it'd be entertaining as all hell, but we would never get to say anything again.
So the show would improve in quality tremendously, is what you're saying.
That's what Mickey just said, yes.
Okay. I wasn't paying attention. I was too busy talking.
Wow, now you sound like Mickey.
Well, you know, when a couple has been together for a long time, they start to look and sound the same.
I don't know. You haven't started Cyloning yet.
That's true.
Scott has a real computer.
They can't do that.
Yeah.
All right, so Q pops in to be snarky and say, "Oh, by the way, everyone, you're all about to die. But by all means, keep bidding." And most of them do.
Yeah.
Like, two people get up and leave, and they're just like, "No, I want this shit. What's up next?"
Yeah, because if I'm going to die, I want to be dying owning that thing. Whoa, I just realized one of the aliens holds up his hand, he has six fingers. I just noticed that.
Yeah, for a cheap joke.
Well, is there any other kind? What are we doing here?
It's a cheap joke that only works in the context of this episode, so I will accept it.
Yeah.
Right.
So they're bidding for the Chaos Emerald. Mm-hmm. And just to be a dick, Q bids 1,000,000 bars of gold pressed platinum.
No, he does the dollar.
He does the 2,501 just to beat that yes. one guy that has the vulva on his face. I'm sorry, that alien just is. That's just straight up female genitalia. I mean, there's no. That's got to be what it is. Yeah, and then, Q goes, 1,000,000! Ha-ha!
And Quark can't contain
himself. Infinite monies.
And then Quark starts rubbing his ears. He's like reaching under the podium and like stroking himself.
Yes, Quark has a literal money boner right now.
I'm hard as gold-pressed latinum.
And so, of course, in like the ultimate punchline to the million-dollar bid...
Mm-hmm.
Sisko and Dax and O'Brien all storm in and say, "Yep, this Chaos Emerald's the source of it. Beam it off."
Wow, imagine that. Emerald's the source of the chaos.
Another example of the DS9 people running into something they don't understand and immediately getting rid of it or destroying it without knowing anything about it. This is the second time we've seen where they've done that. Oh, it's this incredibly interesting, powerful thing that's scientific mystery. Fuck it, get rid of it.
Well, I mean, to be fair...
Sisko was right.
It was dragging them into the wormhole and taking all their power away so they can't turn their shields on to survive the trip through the wormhole.
Yeah.
Also, it was about to hatch and it probably would have exploded the ship.
Yeah.
Like, at the minimum, Quark
would... If only they had held on to it and studied it a bit longer, we might have known a little bit more about it.
Yeah, I mean, like, Quark probably would have been blown up and maybe, you know, most of the promenade and central core. But other than that, yeah, I don't think
where
it's
the
really
reactor
a problem.
Is.
Yeah, well, that's downstairs, though. It'd probably be fine. They might lose ops.
You guys just managed to make everything sound negative. I just don't know how you do it.
We once talked Wingus into not liking
a movie he
Double
liked.
Returns Eternal.
Scott has no frame of reference for what any of those words mean, Fort Max.
Yeah, I want to... Yes, totally. Absolutely. Ha-ha. Well played, ma'am.
I mean, you're completely right, Fort Max. It's just that has, you know, no meaning to Scott.
Scott doesn't know those people or those movies.
Right.
Yeah.
But because this is a podcast, I am nodding and smiling politely.
Yeah, sometimes that's just all you can do.
Mm-hmm.
I feel that way a lot when Paladin's talking.
So they beam the Chaos Emerald off the ship, and it hatches into...
Death Charge?
A small spell
energy death charge.
I was gonna say if like a fiery flapjack.
I think that was Vash's nickname in high school.
Like if you set a manta ray on fire and threw it into space.
So death charge.
Which is fun. If you get a chance to do it, I recommend it.
Well, I mean if you have a chance, I would recommend throwing
it. It would be death charge, wouldn't it? Yeah, you're right. So Fort Max was right all along.
Yeah, Fort Max was right all along.
That tends to happen a lot, really. No, but if you have a chance to throw anything into space, I would recommend it just because, I mean, how often do you get to throw something into space?
Well, frequently?
Yeah, all the time, because we all...
Or do you mean outer space?
Oh, yeah.
But it'd be stupid to say that. It's not like we're the Gundam Wing dub.
So the baby Spelljammer flies into the wormhole.
Bye!
Bye!
Thanks for visiting.
Well, that was a wacky misadventure.
Station back into place. Which, yeah. Why do they keep the station where it's at?
To guard the wormhole?
Why don't they move it closer to the wormhole? It'd be more convenient, less driving, save gas.
Well, they don't really seem to have too much of a problem with that. And they're not that far from it anyway. I think they're like 15, 20 kilometers off the mouth of the wormhole. In space terms, that's, you know, barely any distance at all.
It is. It's like right next door.
Well, then maybe they should be farther away.
But then it would take them longer to fly there.
Yeah, but they might not get dragged into it so quickly.
To be fair, that's like the only time that ever happened.
See, I think that you just take the station and just, like, go over the mouth of the wormhole so it's like a pacifier. So they're, like, right there on top of it. So it's like a plug.
Like a plug?
Yeah, like a plug. So if you want to go to the wormhole, you just, like, go down the bottom, that little dealy bit that hangs down out of the middle, and you just kind of, like,
jump.
Step off. You're like, whee! There you go.
Wormhole bungee
jumping.
Oh,
as the episode ends, Bashir wakes up and yells, "What did I miss, guys? Oh."
Wah, wah, wah. Hey, where was that hot older MILF I was going to bone? And then Dax just looks at him and doesn't even say anything. What a bitch. She literally just smiles at him like, yes, I'm not going to say anything. And then walks away.
Well, to be fair, Dax is a couple hundred years old.
And snooty.
And also doesn't want to have to put up with Bashir's shit anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, it's Bashir. Come on.
Because if I don't talk, then it's not a conversation. Then I can say I went all day without having a conversation with Bashir. So, all in all, it was actually a pretty cool episode. I mean, especially for first season, I thought it was really good.
And Q and Quark convincing her that, no, don't go to Earth, go to whatever this other planet is, so I can get more stuff to auction off.
Yeah. Which is such a shame, because like I said, Vash and Quark were amazing together. I loved their chemistry.
Well, you should watch the Next Generation episode they have together.
With Quark?
Oh,
really?
No, with Q.
Yeah. No, Quark.
No, but Vash and Q also.
Well, anyone in Q.
I mean, frankly, I found Vash and Q to be kind of boring, because whatever. I didn't understand the relationship. But yeah, she's all adventurous and everything, but why on earth did he give a shit about her? What did she possibly bring to the table?
He explained it.
It's because she's important to Picard.
I mean, was that really the only reason?
Yeah.
No, what Q directly said was because when he sees a nebula or star being born, all he sees is just the atoms of shit. She sees wonder, and he sees that in her.
Yeah, but the thing is, there are trillions of other sentient beings out there that can do the same fucking thing. Why Vash?
He's used to
because
her.
Because he's met Vash.
And Vash hadn't run off yet.
She couldn't. Because she's stuck in the gamma quadrant. You know, it's kind of like when you take a car trip with somebody and you're really, really too far from home, you have to be nice to them until they get you home. That's kind of what happened here. She couldn't break up with them until she got home. or she had her friends come pick her up. Seemed kind of abusey. I don't know.
Well, of course, it's Q.
Yeah.
There's a great line when they're talking earlier in the episode, too, where Vash is listing off all the reasons why she can't stand him.
Mm-hmm.
And among them is, you act like you know everything, but I do know everything. I know. That, yeah. makes it, that just makes it worse.
Yeah, the way he fucking delivers that line, again, is just perfect.
Uh-huh.
Right. I mean, Johnny Delancey really was just born to play this role.
Or the role was written around him.
Or yeah, or that, because you know, I mean, that's how you know when the, you've matched it right, when it feels either way.
Yeah.
Good stuff. So good episode, especially. I thought, like I said, for first season, very good. They minimized Bashir, which was nice. Odo had his compulsory lines about "I'm watching you." Quark got to be Quark. He's always Quark.
Quark will Kira be Quark. Was
crazy and bitchy, you know. So I mean, pretty standard DS9 fare.
First season's actually pretty fun, more than you would expect.
Mm-hmm. It's aimless, but it's not bad,
right?
Yeah, because and this is something maybe no one can possibly know. But did they have like the war plan for DS9 when they started it, or did they just like start the episode and say that it lasted three seasons? That well, shit. I guess now we have to create a real plot.
Okay, so they were trying to plant hints of the Dominion even in the first season.
How did I know you had an answer to this? Go on.
I don't think the Dominion was actually named until season two, but elements of them were scattered here and there. Do you remember the episode Tusk, which was like the third or fourth episode?
Yes.
So basically, the premise behind what Tusk was a genetically engineered specimen developed by the Dominion for the planet of Hunters that was using him for the game. And then they went along the same design philosophy when they were making the appearance of the Jem'Hadar, but made them pointier so they would be immediately recognizable as being dangerous.
Right, right.
So, yeah, I mean, elements of this were in mind and being set up from close to the beginning. Like, I think they always did have in mind there's going to be a massive threatening presence on the other side of the wormhole that will reveal itself in time.
Because it seems like in this episode, like, the wormhole is like this big mystery. Had they actually gone through the wormhole at this point?
Well, yeah, I know. Where was the runabout?
Well,
you know, Fort Max makes a very good point, Scott. Rebuttal?
Well, I know. I meant like in a big force. I mean, that's, I don't know. They seem so scared of the wormhole. Like, oh, we can't go through it. You know, it's this big scary thing. I mean, yeah, they were on the other side of it, but I mean, I don't know. It seemed like it was such an unusual thing. It seems like later season they're just like, it was like walking down the street to go to the Gamma Quadrant.
Well, you know, it's still early in the first season here. They're just kind of getting started exploring it.
Yeah.
So of course it's kind of scary and, you know, mysterious and wondrous just because we haven't seen any of this yet.
Right, right.
What's
That's
out
all
there?
I was trying to say. That's all I was trying to say. Something so mean to me.
But no, I mean, like, from the very first episodes, they talk about how there's ships going back and forth all the time for exploration.
Oh, okay.
I can't remember. I think it's later in the season, but they make reference to, like, a Klingon ship or something that went for a multi-year expedition. Which, I mean, obviously at that point would have just had started out, but, you know, they talk about stuff going for long-term missions, which probably all got destroyed.
Yeah. And we never heard from them again.
Yeah. But no, the Dominion was, at least in some form, a thing they were working on.
And it may not have been that, okay, yeah, it's the Dominion, these are the details, but they at least had something general.
Yeah.
Right, right, okay.
Yeah, there's going to be antagonists coming from the other side of the wormhole down the road. Start dropping stuff that we can refer back to later. There's another first season episode where Odo meets somebody who knows about changelings.
Yeah.
And that's where the name Changeling gets introduced into the show.
Oh, I see.
So, like I said, there's, you know, little bits and pieces. You just kind of have to, you have to know enough about the later episodes to be able to watch for them.
Right. Yeah, having that hindsight, I'm sure, is very helpful. Because, yeah, I'm always curious about stuff like that. Because you have, like, usually the first couple seasons of a TV show where you're setting the premise, setting the characters, and it's all kind of, oh, they have their weekly adventure, ha-ha! And then, you know, it comes into, and it starts making the series overarching plot more obvious.
And I think, in a way, the way they handled this build-up in Deep Space Nine is a little bit better than how Babylon 5 worked its ongoing story. Because once you know how all that stuff turns out, it's hard to watch the earlier episodes just, like, you know, individually without realizing, okay, we're at this point in this. Like, you always feel later like you're coming at the middle of part of a story because of how closely serialized all of the buildup is in Babylon 5. Deep Space Nine lets everything be a lot more episodic even while it's putting its bits and pieces in.
Yeah. I do love putting my bits and pieces in.
Oh, looks like Bot Cobb was watching DS9 tonight as well.
Oh. What's he watching?
A loser.
Is Bashir seriously arguing against being a genius physician in favor of riding the short bus?
The sad part is I can't quite mark down what episode that would be.
They're probably the one where you're talking about how he was stupid until he got genetically modified to be smart.
Maybe.
And he wishes that he wasn't.
Yeah.
Maybe. Bok Cobb has such interesting insights on these episodes.
I know. It's a shame he won't speak to us.
Yeah.
Well, you know what you did.
We were born.
Yeah. I don't know, I'm not entirely convinced Bok Cobb isn't a bot of some kind.
We talked about this last week. It was actually the cold open.
Oh, I'm just, okay. Wow, I'm just saying.
Look, oof. No reruns.
We're not having a clip show.
Not yet.
We really should.
Not until Christmas.
Yeah, so I think what we should do for Christmas is watch Shades of Grey.
Oh my god.
And we will only comment about the framing parts, not any of the clips used. And I'll just fill the rest of the episode with clips from previous Toast.
Oh, that's the season 2 finale, isn't it?
Yeah. Also known as TNG's only clip show.
Yes. We should totally do that.
So what are we doing next week?
The original series.
Well, yes.
No, the entire series. You don't understand. We're watching the entire series.
Get a comfortable chair for it, Max.
I want to grab a soda.
Might want to bring an empty Gatorade bottle, too.
way ahead of you there, brother.
Hey, I'm not programming a game here.
Okay, so what do we want to do from the original series?
Scoot, why don't you pick something?
Oh, gosh.
Did you call him Scoot?
Yep.
He may have. Okay, let me kind of flip through here and see what I have.
Go pick something faster.
I'm looking.
Yeah,
I don't have them memorized like you losers do.
Why not? Why are you even on this podcast?
That's a really good question.
Explain to us how warp drive works.
Okay, well, take the Selenium Krellin.
No.
And once you... Okay, I totally can. All right.
Also, it's not Selenium Krellide.
Selenium Krellinide.
No.
It is. Look it up. Then what is it?
Thorium Krellide.
No, I think you're wrong. I think it's Selenium Krillinide.
Krillinide is Dragon Ball.
Yeah, Krillinide. It has no nose and it talks like this. Oh, no,
how does it smell?
Terrible.
Oh.
Awful.
You should have drank more Wilkins coffee.
That will fucking kill you. I will shove coffee grounds up your ass until you expire.
I'm going to have to link to that video in the show notes of other superhero time. Otherwise, there's going to be no context for that.
Oh God, those are the craziest things I've ever seen. Oh, can we do? Have you guys already done the Tholian web?
We have not.
Ooh, I want to do that one. I pick one, Tholian web.
Okay.
Season 20, Space episode Fox. 9, Tholian web.
Space star.
Home star.
Click, click, click. We'll be sure.
Hope Da Wada. All right.
Excellent.
And which is cool about this episode because we get to see the Defiant because everyone loves it from DS9. So.
Mm-hmm. And then the week after, we should watch the Enterprise episode where it reappears.
Yes, we should.
No, we shouldn't.
I'm going to anyway, and you can't stop me.
We're not going to talk about it, though.
Oh, no, I'm going to be playing it and talking about it while we're doing the podcast. You're going to be watching one episode, I'll be watching it, and those are the comments I'll be making about the Enterprise episode. This is an awesome idea. Oh, and here's the part where Trip goes down to engineering, and you guys are like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Hey, that's not a Gorn.
Yeah. No, it's just Hoshi.
That's Empress Hoshi to you.
Yeah, I liked that episode. Screw y'all.
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying we shouldn't talk about it.
Oh, we're doing it now. All right. Well, picked an episode. We watch Q. We are now a little Q-less. So I guess now we can go.
Yeah, and I have to be up early tomorrow. I have jury duty.
I'm sorry.
Whoa. They're, like, letting you decide the fate of another person?
Maybe.
How are you going to vote?
Yeah, who wants to know? You know?
Guilty!
Yeah.
Oh, no. Vote innocent so you can feed them to the Sharktacons.
Innocent. See, I got that reference.
Very good, Scott.
Yay.
No, okay, Fort Max, you're in Texas, so all you have to do to get out jury duty is, you know, when they question you, make sure your answers involve how you, like, firmly, strongly believe in tighter gun control. They'll throw you off that jury right away.
Or you're against hanging.
Yeah, that too.
That'll
just
do
say,
it.
K? K?
Do you understand your obligations to this jury? Okay. Yeah.
Ooh, an animatic for the new Transformers movie.
Oh no! What
aren't you funny?
And the main form of entertainment in the Federation is cosplaying. A pattern emerges. Angry face.
Oh gosh, I remember watching this cartoon. I remember watching, what was it, Auto Teen or whatever it was called? I remember watching it. Turbo Teen, that's right.
You may be mixing it up with Auto Man.
Yes, I am.
Who was not actually a car.
No, but it was still cool that the blue lights and everything. It was awesome.
Yeah, Auto Man actually was very boring.
Oh yeah, it was very boring, but it looked cool. I mean, that's all I remember from being like 3 years old watching it.
Well, I mean, like, Sci-Fi Channel reran it, like, 10 years ago.
Oh, Mr. I'm so rich I can afford cable.
Mr. I'm so bored I watch Sci-Fi Channel in the afternoons.
That's really so bored.
You know, considering how my day goes sometimes, that doesn't sound half bad.
It was nice when they had Quantum Leap reruns, though.
Yeah.